Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Matt, there is no way we are going to be able to pack everything into this one-hour statewide show here, but boy, are we going to try. Aaron Flint here. We are broadcasting live from Glacier Electric Cooperative here in Cut Bank. I'm on the way to Malta tomorrow. So many great folks that we're catching up with here this morning. I've got Dean Larum, a longtime sportscaster here at KSEN Radio, sidekicking with me here this morning. He's also the Shelby football coach. He's also the vice president of the Marias River Livestock Association. He's also trying to work his way out of a ranching job. What else should I add to the list, Dean?
I don't know, Aaron. As long as it's not a lot of technology, I'm probably going to be all right. But what a good crowd you have today. Beautiful day here to be on the island.
Yeah. Like I say, there's no way we're going to be able to sneak everything in today. So I'm going to have to record some interviews, maybe even after the show today, because we're going to see some area ranchers. Right now, we've got a couple of great MSU Extension agents with us here as well. Kim Woodring is the Toole County Extension agent, and Kerry Lewis is the Glacier County Extension agent. Dean, you and I were talking earlier. You know, there's some big important conversations that are taking place right now. Disaster assistance payments are coming out right now. There's some farmers that have been hit pretty hard here recently. We got to keep these family farms in operation.
Yeah, you know, you talk about, we go into that, and last year people were losing $30 to $40 an acre here on the local sector. And this bridge payment that you don't, there's no sign up for it. The FSA office, it's just going to be automatic. They're going to go off your base acres, off your 2025. And those payments, they're out there. We could go through all the numbers, but, you know, you go from Paul's Crops, I'll throw the wheat number out there. I think that's $39.50, somewhere in that. And barley's about half of that. For your wheat and barley guys like that, they guarantee you'll have money by February 28th. That's always one of those things. Don't depend on it being that's the day you got to make your final payment. But here's the key. It's 100% payment. There's no 35%. There's no 85%. It's 100%.
Yeah, and they're trying to take off the red tape and trying to be speedy about this as well. I know you were telling me earlier, so important conversations to be had right now. In fact, very important conversations coming up on January 31st right here in Shelby coming up with about a minute to go before the break. Kerry Lewis, tell us the big picture about this conference and then the website for people that want to register.
Certainly. So mtnextgen.com or find us on Facebook. It's Montana's Next Generation Conference, Saturday, January 31st in Shelby, oriented to our Montana farm and ranch folks. Every single hour, there's six different workshops on crops, livestock, business, accounting, succession planning. So truly something for everyone. Just $25 a person or $45 for two people. And again, mtnextgen.com.
And this is going to be a big one. You've already got people registering from Glendive all across the state. People are looking to be in the house for this one. And especially, you know, how to keep the family ranch in the family hands as you talk about generational transitions as well. I know it's going to be a big part of that conversation. Okay, quick break here on Montana Talks. Affordability, agritourism, and more. Well, what are we going to talk about next? Stand by. More to follow. Live from Cut Bank, Glacier Electric.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Dean Barkham, the general manager for Glacier Electric Cooperative, and Jonalia Sangader, who is also not only here with Glacier Electric Cooperative, but she is the statewide chair for the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association for Tribal Relations. Looking forward to catching up with both of them here in just a couple of minutes as well. Yeah, we're live at Glacier Electric here in Cut Bank. Let's see, Kim Woodring, the Toole County Extension agent. Let's start with kind of the good news, the fun news in local agriculture. I know this is something you've been talking about and really championing is agritourism, and because it all comes down to producer profitability and affordability, right?
Yeah, I've been working on agritourism since I graduated with my master's degree. My focus was on agritourism. I think it's really important to Montana's farmers and ranchers to showcase what they're doing on their operations. When you have shows like Yellowstone, making it out like we take everybody to the train station that we don't get along with. But that's not the reality here. And I think that it's really important that we showcase that. And with like our Next Generation Conference, that's agritourism as well. Folks are traveling from the farm and ranch to learn about agriculture.
Dean Larum, you know, we were talking kind of during the break. You know, when you talk about hard times hitting some farms, and that's why we were talking about this, these disaster assistance payments coming down. Look, there can be hard times, even in good times. And so I know this was another conversation you thought was important to bring up.
Yeah, you know, you always ask, you know, your neighbor, you know, how's your day going? How's the weather? And you probably should ask a little bit more. Tool County is one of the highest rates of suicide in the nation. And we've touched on that. I've touched that with football players. But, you know, I think about in the farming sector, there's a lot of times you got to drive 20, 30 miles before you get a neighbor you want to talk to and stuff like that. The coffee shops aren't where they used to be. I mean, we talk about how the High Line needs to have that local hub. You need to be a destination. You need to have a place. You need to have that conversation. And it's one of those things when you have a neighbor, really ask how they really are doing. And, you know, this next generation, this is a place where you can get the ag sector together. And, you know, you're not the only guy having a problem. It blows every day along the High Line. You got to realize that there's going to be a next year kind of generation, but if you talk with it, you're not the only person with the problem.
Yeah, in fact, kind of on that front, Carrie Lewis, I know you, not only are you the Glacier County Extension agent, but you still have the family ranch. You guys are still ranching. You grew up here, and this next gen conference is kind of another way to get people together than the importance of getting people together, right?
Absolutely. And like Dean mentioned, just knowing that you're not the only one, and so many people have walked out and said it was just so encouraging to know other people are going through the same things and start that conversation. My husband and I were fortunate we were able to buy my uncle and aunt Bush and Dorian Gillespie's place and ranch next to my parents and my sister up to the west. And so really fortunate, but I think opportunities like this come from having those conversations and people also talking about what are our values as a family, what is important, and how do we make that happen.
Paint the picture of just how big agriculture is here in Glacier County and on the Blackfeet Nation reservation as well. I spoke with one rancher earlier. Got another one coming on here this hour of the show as well.
Certainly, just the foundation of what we do here, and this is the country for it. It's short grass prairie. There's not a lot of irrigation, and so what do we do well? We raise cattle well, we raise crops well, some really high-quality wheat here, and the people are tremendous. They're resilient. Like Dean mentioned, the wind blows here, but they figured out how to make it work, and they're hardy folks.
Well, you know, the one thing that we see, Carrie, we see more of the next generation coming back to the farm. Back in the 80s when the CRP was put into the program, it shut down the High Line quite a bit where land was taken out of production. And we've gotten back to where the land is in production. The next generation, I see it, all these small towns I go to, a lot of young folks.
Absolutely. I think there's a tremendous opportunity out there. If people are willing to show up and have some work ethic, there's opportunity.
That's what I think, Kim Woodring, I was telling you about this, that, you know, last time I was out at the Gate Show in Glendive, the Glendive Agri Trade Expo in Terry, Montana. My cousin Paul Ayers, you know, he's still ranching, family ranch there in Fallon. He works for Stockman Bank out there in Glendive, Terry. And he was saying, look, a lot of the kids I went to school with are now coming back home because they're taking over these family ranches. And that is some of the best news that you can get. In fact, Kim, I think your husband is the president of Stockman Bank here in town.
Yeah, right? Newly yeah. President. His boss just retired last week. My husband is actually helping our farm and ranch as well here in Cup Inc. We just help my dad out whenever he needs help with harvest. And my husband is actually doing a workshop at the Next Generation Conference, too.
He doesn't make you call him Mr. President at the house, does he?
Absolutely.
He would love to see that, though.
He does call me the head combine driver and the strong Hungarian woman. So.
I was going to say, if he's the president, you're like the emperor. I'm not going to say
first lady is what I'm going
You'll
with.
Go with first lady. But you've got a little more power than that, I imagine, yeah. At the house. Well, ladies, great to have both of you, Kim Woodring, Carrie Lewis, at MSU Extension Agents, Tool County and Glacier County, respectively. I love what our extension agents do. So thanks for coming over and joining us.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Dean Larum, you know, know, you and I were chatting about this earlier, but, you know, again, Shelby went from 8-man football to 11-man football. That's pretty interesting. And so, and you're the Shelby football coach now. Usually it's the other way around in a lot of these smaller towns.
Well, the most interesting, you had to move the goalpost. So, yeah, you had to find a spot, and you have to dig a hole and make sure it's kind of centered. My wife says the way I hang pictures, she's not really sure it's really straight.
Illinois State was hoping they would have moved the goalpost maybe a time or two.
Or moved it up maybe just a little bit.
Or just don't kick.
Don't think about that for a long time.
All right, well, quick break here on Montana Talks, live from Glacier Electric Cooperative here in Cut Bank. We're going to be in Malta tomorrow at the GN. We're going to pass the microphones over to Dean Burkram, the general manager, and also Jonalia Sangadeo, who is here, the manager of member services with Glacier Electric Cooperative. But she also, you know, every year we love to go to the Montana Electric Cooperative Association annual meeting. We've gotten a chance to catch up with her there. She is the chair of the Tribal Relations Committee. And if you haven't seen it in your recent Rural Montana magazine, very interesting stuff that we're going to hear about here in just a couple of minutes.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, we got to start by saying a big thank you here to our friends at Glacier Electric Cooperative. In fact, Dean Larum, longtime sportscaster on KSEN Radio here in Shelby, Cut Bank Country. Man, I had a ton of fun. I think last time I was able to swing through here, I got to it. It happened to be when the Big Athletic Awards banquet was taking place down at the Marias River Golf Course, and seeing all the great athletes and your great team, everybody at KSCN Radio. I mean, you guys, the heart you pour into these communities is such a great thing to see.
You put it back, Jerry Black, you know, and he put the station together, him and Robert Hauser, you know, sports was right on their mind. They've carried it through. We got a great, you know, basically, I'm still the rookie. I've been there 20-some years. I'm still the rookie around there. Mark Daniels, Gary Gooden, they do a great job. Ann James, I mean, it's been basically the same staff. And, you know, Julie Martin, she keeps us all together. So it's great, and sports is always on her mind.
It's such a great crew. I'm looking forward to stopping in and saying hi to all them on my way to Malta here as I bust down Highway 2 after the show. But also, got to say a big thank you to our hosts here at Glacier Electric Cooperative. You know, we were talking about people getting together, and that's what I love about a lot of these electric cooperatives. They're kind of like the town hall in a lot of these towns. This conference room here, you know, YVEC outside of, you know, in Huntley, similar deal. They're kind of a community gathering point in a lot of ways.
They're always opening the doors, let people have meetings in them. Like you say, the word cooperative and rural really goes together.
Dean Burkram is the general manager here. Dean, we got to start here. So I was in Scobie a few years ago. I'm getting a tour of their school from Burl Bowler and crew. And I said, hey, do you guys know the name Kedrick Flint? I think my great uncle was a school superintendent here. And he goes, oh, man. He was hardcore back in the day. But I hadn't known that he was a school superintendent in Scobie, because I had always known that he had been in the schools here in Cut Bank. But yeah, he was a school superintendent, and was when your dad was involved with the schools as well.
My dad spent 18 and a half years on the school board here in Cut Bank, and Kedrick Flint was one of the superintendents at that time. When the gym burned down in 1970, he would have been the superintendent at that time, and I guess responsible for building the. I guess it's not new now, but it's 50 years old now. But it's, yeah.
Wow. So was he as hardcore here in Cut Bank as they tell me he was in Scobie?
I think he ran a tight ship. Yeah.
Well, that's great. So talk about Glacier Electric Cooperative. You know, we were talking about disaster assistance to our farmers. Glacier County and especially our friends in Libby were all, you know, big in the news here. We had that big windstorm come through. We had flooding, especially at Libby. Didn't get hit as hard here in Glacier County as they did there. But nonetheless, you know, your men and women had to get right to work.
That storm came in the 17th of December, and wind was blowing about 80 miles an hour. I know the Western utilities, they got hit way harder than us, but we didn't really have the damage as far as to say to file a FEMA disaster ourselves, but they're based on the countywide, and the numbers we have in damages definitely help get the county to where they need to be, and and hopefully they can get some assistance. There's a lot of tribal damage on the reservation and the county for the roads and things like that. So it's nice to see that the FEMA be able to help out if they can. They did show up and we had a meeting with them Tuesday. Got everything together and submitted our numbers. Lincoln County, they got hit. It was a disaster.
Very
they
hard. Were
flat
bridges knocked out, et cetera. Yeah. Paint the picture how big your coverage area is. You're keeping the lights on for a mass. I mean, the whole Blackfeet Nation down into Ponderay County. I mean, so larger than some states, I'd imagine.
We have roughly 70 square miles where we actually feed some in Toole County, all of Glacier County, some in Flathead County, some in Ponderay County, and there's, I think we got 3 meters in Canada and Alberta. So,
yeah. Well, what do you think is the most important message you want to communicate, whether it's to your members or to folks all across Montana?
I think being prepared, you're lucky you're part of a cooperative. I think cooperatives, we tend to work together pretty good. They're relatively small for the most part. Flathead's a fairly big organization, but still, we help each other out, and the cooperative principle and cooperative spirit is there. And meeting with Marias River Electric during the last storm, I got called from Shane Clark down there and wanted to know if we needed any help. And those are nice. It's nice to feel. That's a nice feeling to have.
That's incredible.
Somebody's there for you. And
before I forget and get to our next guest as well here, yesterday I was at the Montana Chamber Business Days at the Capitol and talking with my friend Adam Gilbertson about the workforce development initiatives to get, skilled trades workers. I had Mike Rowe, the one and only Mike Rowe, on the radio recently with the governor, and he said these big CEOs are asking them, hey, where are we going to find all these workers for these six-figure jobs that we have available right now in automotives or whatever? He said they're in the eighth grade. That's where those workers are. You guys have a really cool scholarship program, and these kids are coming back and getting good job opportunities right after these scholarship opportunities.
That started here 4 or 5 years ago. We had one of our linemen he had passed away from a health problem, and we put a scholarship together in his name for trade school to put somebody to line school. So we started offering that and internships for the summer before they go to college, and then once they go to line school, we give them a scholarship to the line school, and they come back ready to go. That the line school trains them and they have their CDL, they have all the training to become and start as an apprentice lineman. And so far, I think we've had 3 of them come back that are now working for us. And there's people that are still want to come back.
Local kids coming back, good jobs every 6 months. You get a little bump in pay. After 4 years, you get a really nice bump in pay. It's a good deal all around. Well, let's turn now. We've got John Aliyah St. Gador. Lives in Browning, works here in Cutbank with Glacier Electric Cooperative. And John Aliyah, it's great to see you again. I had fun catching up with you at the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association meeting as well.
Yep, that's always a good year end, just to see everybody throughout all the co-ops in Montana. It's a great time to just see what other co-ops are doing through the state. We have similar programs. Sometimes it's also nice to see what other co-ops are doing that you can bring back to your part of Montana.
Yeah, and kind of like Dean, you grew up here. Your family's here. You've raised, your family here. And that's what these co-ops are all about. But you're also the state chair of the Tribal Relations Committee for all of the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. What are some of the interesting things going on through the Tribal Relations Committee?
Yes, so I've been the president of that for the last 2 years. MECA is actually, they get most of the credit. They wanted to see this do more. A co-op serves every reservation here in Montana. This year was kind of neat. The license plate reader program brought something to MECA, wanting to put license plate readers on every reservation to help with the MMIP, the missing and murdered. I'm sorry if I mixed it up.
No, you got it. Yeah.
So they wanted to put cameras in to help local tribal police be able to, when an alert goes out, someone missing, that they can see where the plates were going, which direction those cars were going. And we actually had 2 put in on our reservation on the Blackfeet this July. It was, tribal, the co-ops, even the state got involved with that. So that was a really good program that came through.
And that's interesting because, yeah, yesterday you and I were kind of talking about this, and a lot of people would just assume that when a kid goes missing or something like that, you have an Amber Alert that goes out, but because of whether it's communications issues, different jurisdictional issues with law enforcement between, you know, this agency and that agency, that it actually is not as easy as you would think it is. And so when it comes to the missing, murdered, indigenous person's whole issue, this was something that was said, hey, if we had these license plate readers, and so now they've got these, and they're doing more of them across the state, especially to help out on the reservation communities in particular, right?
Yeah, I think we were the fourth state that had them installed, and so now these license plate reader programs are right at the local tribal police, so they can get those alerts out earlier, which, and I don't know what the jurisdiction problem was, but they just alerts weren't going out fast, so now we're getting them out faster. The tribal police have, you know, all access to that to help get it out to nationwide. So
very interesting. Yeah, earlier this morning I got a chance to catch up with a Marine Corps veteran who's also a BIA law enforcement veteran and an area rancher here as well, and so I look forward to sharing that conversation with our statewide audience next week, because I'm trying to catch up with as many folks while we're here as we can. And what else would you like to tell folks, whether it's about Glacier Electric or the work you're doing at the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association as well?
I just think, you know, co-ops are at every part of the state. We do a lot for our community, scholarships, internships, donations. You know, we're just the heart of every community. And I think more people need to know that co-ops are here for you here in Montana.
I was seeing somewhere, there's a big fundraiser going on right now for the rodeo team at Browning High School. So if folks want to help out with that, I saw something online about that. So Tuesday night, I had to get to Helena for the show yesterday morning. But had a ton of fun. There was a big wrestling meet in Whitefish, so I got to go watch my son in that, and the Browning kids were there. Holy cow, they've got a lot of really good wrestlers. They've got a big team going, both the boys and the girls right now.
Yeah, I've actually seen their hiring in another assistant wrestling coach because the team has gotten so big.
So big, yeah. Yeah, they're out in force. It's been fun to see. I've seen them in Polson, seen them in Great Falls, and then in Whitefish last week as well. Dean Burke, from the general manager for Glacier Electric Cooperative, I know you got to run to a conference call in a second. Anything else you want to tell folks across the state with less than a minute to go here?
Our annual meeting's coming up, I guess, April 15th this year for the cooperative annual meeting. And we're also going to have a couple community forums, Cut Bank, Browning, February 9th, I believe, in Cut Bank, and the 10th in Browning. So definitely encourage you to show up to those, and we can visit about any issues we got going on. Love to hear it. Love to meet the people and see the people, and got nothing but great things to say about the tough people of northern Montana.
That's right. You know, I was a commander of a special operations detachment in the Montana National Guard about a decade or so ago, and we had some tough kids. You know why we had some tough kids in that unit? Because they were wrestlers in Shelby and Cut Bank. And so some of them, you know who you are. And one of them actually became a Green Beret. And so I think if you're in Shelby, you know who I'm talking about there. A bunch of, man, just tough kids, that's for sure.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordland.
Farmer sentiment weakened slightly in December of last year as Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer Index dropped 3 points to a reading of 136. Weakness in the barometer was attributed to a modest decline in producers' long-term outlook as the Future Expectations Index fell to 140, 4 points lower than the previous month. The Current Conditions Index was unchanged from November at 128. Angst about the prospects for U.S. soybean exports amid increasing competition from Brazil contributed to a slightly weaker outlook for the future among crop producers. Producers' expectations for their farms' financial performance changed little compared to November, as the Financial Performance Index rose just 2 points to 94. The Farm Capital Investment Index also increased 2 points to 58 in December. Even with the slight rise, 60% of farmers said it was still a bad time to make large investments in their farms. In other news, USDA said nearly 14% of all U.S. households, or 18.3 million, were food insecure in 2024. Food insecure households, or those with low or very low food security, had difficulty at some time during the year providing enough food for all their members because of a lack of resources, the department report says. I'm Lane Nordland.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, like I say, hey, we're going to sneak in the big news of the day stuff here while we're on the road as well. We got to get to the big news of the day, even though we're doing a road show for most of the week here. And then we got another great guest who's going to join us here in Cutbank this morning. He drove in from Browning here to come join us on the show. I'm very excited. Bo Michael is a Blackfeet tribal member. He's a rancher on the Blackfeet Nation. He's a rodeo guy. He's a Hollywood stunt guy. I saw him in Tom Opry's film, The Real Yellowstone. I said, I gotta meet this guy. So he's here. I just got to meet him. We're going to wrap up the show with Bo Michael, but then I'm going to record a longer segment with him after the show that we can use maybe next week when I get back in the studio. But we've got Governor Greg Gianforte on the phone lines. In fact, I called the governor during the break to get him on the show, and he answered it by saying, Bobcat headquarters, Governor, how you doing? You got to still just be on a high after that Monday night victory, huh?
How about them, Cap?
It was incredible.
It was incredible. I mean, I think I lost a couple of years off my life with the nail biting at the end, but just hats off to the whole Bobcat team for getting her done.
I've got Dean Laram here with me, the Shelby football coach. Yeah, Dean, you were telling me earlier, you literally drank the bars out of beer in Nashville. Well, not you, but collectively, the Montana fans. And there were paramedics called because of the heart attack cats.
I might have helped out a little bit with the beer consumption, just a little bit. But, yeah, as we were walking out, I saw some paramedics carrying two people that ran down to the field. And I kind of asked, and they said, yeah, their hearts got going too well. But I know, I'm like the governor, I think a couple of years of my life got shaved off.
Well, Governor, well, first off, anything else you want to talk about before we get to the news of the day? I know with all of this fraud going on in the state of Minnesota, we know that's just the tip of the iceberg. When you get to California and some of these other states, recently I was having a great conversation with James Brown, Montana State Auditor, and he was talking about, hey, here's what part of what he's doing at the state auditor's office to prevent this fraud from taking place. And got a great note from you and your team. Hey, we want to talk about what we're doing at the state also to crack down on this fraud. So we appreciate you being with us.
Well, it's an embarrassment. It's awful what's going on in Minnesota. This is just Democrat leadership being asleep at the wheel. Fortunately, in Montana, we have good protections in place. This is something I monitor every single month. I get a report from DPHHS on all of our social welfare programs. And let me be clear, Aaron, we need these programs as a social safety net for Montanans that hit a rough patch, but they should be a trampoline that help people get back to self-sufficiency, not a hammock you climb into and stay in for the rest of your life. And we have to be particularly vigilant to make sure that only people that are qualified are in these programs. So we track Medicaid, Medicare, SNAP, CHIP, TANF, all these programs. And I have good news. We went through and requalified everybody on Medicaid, and that enrollment, because of the success we've had in the economy, we're one of only two states in the country where wage growth has exceeded inflation over the last 5 years. We have tens of thousands of people that are no longer on these social welfare programs. In fact, as I look at the numbers in front of me, and I have the latest ones right here in a chart, we've been having a downtrend in total enrollment across all these programs. The decrease since I came into office, or the peak right after the pandemic, is anywhere from 20% reduction to almost 40% reduction in enrollment. And what that means is Montanans are succeeding. We want to bring the American dream into closer reach. And it's because of the work of the folks at DPHHS. These programs are available to people that need them, but not being taken advantage of in some scheme or illegal fraud like we've seen in Minnesota.
You know, Governor, you're reminding me, Christmas Eve, I did, a show for Christmas Eve, a live show with a couple of great guests, and you know, it was a Christmas Eve show, so we were just going to be featuring a couple good organizations helping out kids in the foster programs, et cetera. But it was actually very newsworthy. We broke some news that day because one of the gentlemen who joined us helps kids in the foster care system. He says that in these last few years, because Montana's always historically had the highest number of kids, even per capita, in foster care programs. And without getting into the reasons for that, what he said is the good news is that number has dramatically gone down in these last few years. So whether you talk about tackling fraud in preventing fraud in the systems, the fraud like we're seeing in Minnesota right now, that is something that I think is a huge accomplishment.
Oh, Aaron, you know, every child deserves to be in a permanent, loving home. And unfortunately, some parents, they kind of come off the track sometimes, whether it's addiction or whatever the situation is. This is something we went to work on. This is why we created the Office of Faith and Community Service at DPHHS, too. Because let's face it, the state is not a very good parent. And yet we find ourselves in situations where we have to take custody of children, put them in the foster care system. We can't be the parents they deserve. So what we've done is we've partnered with faith-based nonprofits across the state that recruit adoptive parents and then support adoptive parents. We passed a adoption tax credit. So if families are willing to open up their home to one of these kiddos in the foster care system, they get a $7,500 refundable tax credit if they adopt out of the foster care system. We enhanced the services we provide for biological parents because the best scenario is the kids go back to their parents. And since I took office, we've seen a 45% reduction in the number of kids in foster care. That's a victory.
That's huge.
And it's going to produce better results for those kids.
That's huge. Yeah, I had to bring that up because I was thinking about that is remarkable. And by the way, it was Aaron Schofield with Aaron Schofield here with Rooted Families. And thanks to Denise Saprinsky, by the way, with the Gianforte Family Foundation, who lined up that conversation. It was just incredibly insightful. Dean Larum here with me as we chat with Governor Gianforte. You know, earlier, and by the way, there's extra audio on the Montana Talks app for later because we caught up with some folks earlier this morning as well. But earlier, we caught up with Kim Winchell, who's the former mayor at Cut Bank, and she's affiliated here with the community health folks. You got Logan Health has a clinic here. So rural health care is so critical to these small communities like Shelby and Cut Bank especially.
Right. You know, you talk about that. They need to be destinations. They need not to be just a Band-Aid to take to bigger facilities. And as a guy who lives 40 miles away, you want to have good rural service. And I think we're headed the right direction.
And Governor, on that front, I know President Trump recently, you know, thanks to the One Big Beautiful Bill, had a big rural health care initiative in that. And I think Montana ended up, because of our DPHS, your efforts, our DPHHS efforts, we came out better than even some bigger states thanks to that work in the process, right?
We got almost as much money as California did, even though we're much smaller. We are rural. There were two pieces to it. The Big Beautiful Bill allocated a certain amount of money to each state that submitted an application, and we did. But then half the money was a jump ball, and you had to compete for it. And DPHHS did a great job. They went out, did stakeholder meetings, met with rural communities, put a proposal together, and we ended up getting the fourth largest allocation in the entire country, $233 million from the Trump administration to enhance rural health care. And I will tell you, whenever we get federal money, it comes with some concern because we don't want to plant acorns that grow into mighty oaks, and then the burden of watering, feeding and trimming those oaks falls on Montanans. So our proposal, in line with everything we did with ARPA and the prior federal grant, is about building rural healthcare capacity from where we are today to a higher level that, and here's the key thing, that it is sustainable with existing resources. So that's what it's going to do. And I'm excited to get this rolled out. It was a really short fuse. We had to turn this around in 90 days. The Trump administration turned it around very, very quickly, and really pleased to see $233 million from the Big Beautiful Bill going into rural Montana so that people can get health care in their local community.
Yeah, and that's big. I like what you said, too, because you almost have to treat this as if it were one-time funds instead of baking in a long-term big budget that you can't sustain over the long haul. Governor Greg Gianforte, greatly appreciate your time this morning. We'll have to have you back on for more time here in the near future. But about 30 seconds before the break, I'm in Cut Bank today. I'm in Malta tomorrow. What does this infusion of rural health support mean for a Cut Bank in a Malta, for example?
Well, you know, I know Sherry well up there at the hospital in Cut Bank. I saw her the other night at the chamber. You need local healthcare in our rural communities for people to live in those communities. People want to age in place. They need to be able to get healthcare in their community so they can live in their community. This is a part of maintaining vitality in our local community. So happy to see this investment. So important going forward.
Yeah, and the kids and grandkids can still see you, et cetera. All right, Governor, great to have you on the show again. Congrats to your big team victory Monday night and for Montana, of course, as well.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Earlier this morning, so around 6:30 this morning, I had a great conversation and cup of coffee with K Webb, and now I'm all of a sudden forgetting his last name all of a sudden right now. Galbraith, K Webb Galbraith. He's the former water director for the Blackfeet Nation. He's a rancher near Browning. He was a BIA law enforcement officer. He's a Marine Corps veteran. Anyway, we had a great conversation, so I'm looking forward to sharing that with you guys here at my next earliest opportunity. After the show's done today, I'm going to keep the conversation going with our next guest here because I can't wait to hear more about his story. So, Dean Larum, my friend Tom Opry produced this film, The Real Yellowstone, and what he wanted to do with this film was get the farmer rancher voice out there to the sportsman community. Because ranchers are so, you know, so important to wildlife habitat. I mean, they're the ones who protected this land, right? If you go to places like south of Malta, if you come here to Glacier County, it's agriculture that is keeping this land, you know, the land that it is today. So, but one of the folks that was in his film is our next guest, Bo Michael, apparently a Hollywood stuntman, a rodeo guy, a rancher, Blackfeet tribal member, and just I can't wait to hear more about his ranch and background and all of that. But since we only got a quick few minutes left here with our live show today, you're the vice president of the Marias River Livestock Association. You asked a really good question to Bo, which is, what do you think is the most important thing for folks to hear across Montana right now? So maybe expand on that, and you throw out the first question or two here.
Right now, the ranching industry is awfully good right now, Bo, you know, but, you know, we always depend on the weather. And in your opinion, where are we with the drought right now?
You know, as far as I can tell with our drought situation, we're not coming out of it. The weather is great for feeding cattle and stuff like that. But as far as like for hay production, summer rainfall, grass growth, all of that type of stuff, I guess time will tell. It's kind of scary to think about just because you don't know. You don't know what you do with your livestock. I know a lot of people, years, decades, you know, of building cattle herds and farmers, you know, as far as, you know, getting crops planted. I think we're in pretty scary times with that. You know, the prices are great. They're sure helping out. But, you know, this stuff needs to sustain as far as the financial aspect of ranching, farming. It's not doing so good for the farmers, I hear.
So you're like me. Drought assistance is one of those things where you need drought assistance in that calendar year when you got to go back to the bank. But a lot of these programs, they're a year or two out.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. And, you know, so, you know, you're kind of skimming by year after year, you know, even with the high cattle prices, you're, you know, still trying to figure out where you're going to be at the end of the year and, you know, hopefully get the note paid off and, you know, that type of stuff. And then, you know, so you're kind of budgeting for the next year, and you don't really know, like, what the funding is available and if it's going to, where it's going to help and how it's going to help.
So drought's one thing that we worry about. The other one are predators and, you know, grizzly bear management and wolves. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. You know, there was years past. I'm a advocate for wildlife, whether it's predators or, you know, big game. I really enjoy seeing the big game. The predators so much, you know, I think we could manage them a little better as far as, you know, what they're doing. I think monitoring them a little more, too, would certainly help on that aspect. We've had some, you know, casualties from predators throughout the years. So, you know, we always contact our local fish and game guys, and they, you know, they seem to get right on it, you know. But, you know, in summertime, you're talking pack of wolves and trees and stuff like that. You know, they're pretty hard to find. They're hard to, you know, get them located. So I think, you know, like back in the, you know, the old times, you know, those guys would stay out there in the country and they knew exactly where those animals were, you know. That's a really tough question and it's a really tough one to figure out.
Well, I know the governor, he would like to have more state control on the predator management than the Fed, and I think that's the right way to go.
Yeah, Endangered Species Act reform, you just at a broader level, I know it's something they're talking about. I know a lot of our ag groups have been talking about as well. About a minute to go here, and Dean Lamb, first off, thanks for coming down and sidekicking with me this morning. This has been a ton of fun. Bo Michael, I'm going to chat with you more after this because I can't wait to hear more about your family history, your ranch history, et cetera. But with about a minute to go with today's show, just talk big picture, the importance of cattle ranching in particular to Glacier County, to the Blackfeet Nation, and more.
Yeah, you know, cattle ranching is probably, for the Blackfeet tribe, I think it's the biggest agriculture driver as far as, you know, on the reservation. It's, you know, it goes along with the Blackfeet horse culture. Cattle ranching is really big, and it opens up so many doors to so many different, you know, aspects of, you know, agriculture.
Well, I know my friend Tom Oprah, who did the Real Yellowstone film that you're featured in, he's been all over the world, hunting all over the world, and he says it is a pretty special place where Bo lives. So can't wait to hear more about that. We got to wrap up our show here in Cut Bank from Glacier Electric Cooperative. Big thanks to them for hosting us. Tomorrow, I'll be live in Malta at the GN. We've got an incredible story to tell you about. It's basically a medical miracle and a reunion for the first time ever since that medical miracle in Malta at the GN tomorrow.